Many of you don't know me. Some of you know me very well. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I am Susan Prather, and I serve as minister to youth and children here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church. Today is August 1st. It is my fourth year of service here. I cannot believe I've been here 4 years, and it's been great. Thank y'all for having me. During this time on staff, I've had some amazing opportunities. I've recently completed an 18-month congregational leadership certification program at the Baptist Theological Seminary at Richmond. And I've also, I'm starting my second year of seminary at John Leland Seminary, getting a degree in theology, which just means I want to know more about God. So I start back in August 25th, we'll start classes. But through these classes, I've been richly blessed by finding a really good network of friends and leaders who also serve youth and children. And each of these groups, we come together on a regular basis and we talk about the topics and the trends and we share ideas. So I get some of my best ideas from these folks. One of our reoccurring discussions, and it happens over and over and over, is how do we help our youth and our children develop their faith? Now, each of these groups, how do we help them develop their group, their faith? So that's some of the issues that I'd like to talk to you about this morning. In America, we're really blessed that most people have homes. We've become very adept at building homes and rebuilding homes. Have you guys seen that television show, Extreme Home Makeover? No, yes, I see heads shaking, yeah. In that show, they take the worst house in town, and they do a complete makeover, and then they turn it into the best house in town. Today, we're going to discuss another kind of makeover that needs to happen. And that is rebuilding our homes with Christ at the center. Now, this message is not just for moms and dads that have children. This message is for everybody. It's for single people. It's for senior citizens. It's for grandparents. Everybody needs Christ at the center of their home. USA Today did a recent article, and they said that there are 28 different forms of family in our America right now. They come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and different ages. So when you watch that show, Extreme Home Makeover, the first thing that they do is they look at the house and its current condition. And as they go through it, that you can vividly see that there's something that needs to be made over. And so you might be asking why we need a home makeover. Well, we've become really good at building houses. You know, like the building house. But we've become worse and worse at building homes that have Christ in the center of them. Let me give you a few facts that we've learned from the Search Institute Effective Christian Education Survey. This is what they say about families. 48% of church youth view their mothers as very religious. 48% of, get this, churched youth think their mom is very religious. 23% of churched youth view their dad as very religious. 27% of church youth say they've experienced either a family devotion time, they've had prayer at home, or they've read the Bible at home. 29% of churched youth have done a family service project together. And I'll say it again, this is the result of churched youth. Imagine what the results would be for unchurched youth. I mean, it seems to me that we need to do an extreme home makeover with Christ at the center today, in all of our homes. And as Ty Pennington from the show always says, let's do it. OK? Kind of goes along with the theme from the children's message. Let's do it. We're going to be looking at Joshua 24. It's one of my very favorite pieces of scripture. Joshua, as you know, was appointed by God, and he led the Israelites into the Promised Land after the death of Moses, and they'd been delivered from their enemies, and life was good for the people. They had plenty of food, they had clothing, they had housing, they had freedom, they had prosperity. Sounds like us, doesn't it? I mean, we've got all those things. Yet we're in need of a home makeover. In the text that I'm going to be reading from, Joshua's trying to help the people he's leading to avoid the home makeover. So this is Joshua's final deathbed message. He reminds the people of their covenant with God. And I believe there are some really precious things for us to think about that will serve us in making a home makeover. So Joshua 24, verses 1 through 15. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders and the leaders and the judges and the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Listen to that. Joshua says to the people, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Cana and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob. And Esau, I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. I afflicted the Egyptians for what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zephor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan, and you came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land in which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And then Joshua says in verses 14 and 15, "Now fear the Lord, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, Joshua spent a lot of time in this text reminding the Israelites of what God had done for them. I believe his point was pretty obvious. When you have life pretty good, it's pretty easy to forget God. I don't know, have we forgotten God? I mean, we've got it pretty good. Look how busy our lives are. We work a lot. We put in so many hours. We work and work and work. Our kids, they're busy with dance and baseball and karate and music lessons. And families are running around like crazy trying to squeeze God in somewhere. And we're so busy, we don't have the energy. We don't have the energy. We don't have the time to have regular family meals together, much less pray together, do devotions together, or come to worship. I think we're squeezing God out of our culture. The result is we no longer remember God or what God has done for us. We've lost our personal connection with God. And I think that we have lost something that's very, very important. And I believe our families are hurting. And I believe that we need a home makeover. Unfortunately, families aren't turning to God. What they're turning to is Dr. Phil or Oprah or this new psychic that's up here in Chesterfield, you know. We're looking for different places to find our answers. And we forget how much God can do for us. I mean, we're talking about the God. Remember, this is the God who created the heavens and the earth, who parted the Red Sea, who made the blind man see, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. If he can do that, certainly he can help our families. Has your family forgotten God? The next piece of scripture, I'm going to review a little bit of 13, but I want to lead us forward a little bit to verse 18. Joshua says this again. This is God speaking, actually, in verse 13. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And again, Joshua's response. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves today, this day, whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people's response in verse 16. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. And he protected us our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. So you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. Our first option is serve the gods of this world. Materialism. Money. The fast-paced lifestyle that we lead, the busyness. Or our second option is serve the one true God. You know, this is the God that loves you, created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He intends for you and your family to enjoy a long life. And his way leads to everlasting life for you and your family, whatever your family looks like. So the choice begins with us. And the passage reads, as for me. As for me. I can only do this for me. Before it says anything else about the household. You can't pass along something to your family that you don't have. If you want your children or your family to have faith that impacts the decisions they make and the life they choose, we need to have faith that impacts our decisions and the life we choose to live. The Search Institute says another very interesting survey that they do, and it says that our children's faith is most influenced by their parents. And that influence is 80%. 80% of our children are more influenced by their children, and by their 80% are influenced by their parents. They're much more influenced by their parents than they are by any church program that we could create. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the importance of the church. And I'm definitely not trying to get out of a job here, because I like my job, so I like creating programs. But, you know, my faith was formed from coming to church, but I believe that it was formed at home with my mom. I mean, my mother showed me how to pray. She had a large Bible on the coffee table. It was open for everybody to see. She had these cute little Jesus plates that were over the kitchen table, and Jesus watched you eat every meal. And then there was the Joshua plates, and they said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So we were constantly knew that this was a Christian home and that we were to follow Christ. And my mom talked to us about what she knew. She knew that Jesus loved her, Jesus saved her, and she was emphatic about telling us that. Now, I, again, attended church. But I can't tell you about the sermons that I heard. I can tell you what my mama told me, though. And so I believe that my faith was formed at home. And I remember those lessons the very best. There's a book out there called, The Family, The Forming Center. And Arthur makes this statement. For all their specialized training, church professionals realize that if a child is not receiving basic Christian teaching in their home, even the very best teachers and curriculum will have minimal impact. Once a week, exposure to church cannot compete with a daily experience of being with your family, and your faith is enriched by your home life. And I mean, what are you doing in your homes? I mean, I had to make a choice of what I was going to do in my home. There's some simple things that you can do. Things like Christian symbols. When your children see those symbols, it may be a cross. It may be a Celtic cross. Those things remind people when they come into your home that you serve Christ. It may be that you go home and you talk about the sermon today or not. But, you know, there are things like songs that we're going to sing. You may get in the car and sing those with your children, or not just your children. Remember, I said families look different. They're divorced, they're single, they're older, but you have grandchildren, and there are people that you come in contact with. So I think the things that we do at home just tell the world that our home, we follow Christ, and that we are Christ followers. Now, I want to get back to the church, because I do feel like the church is really important. And it helps you to remain in Christ. George Barna is one of those other survey kind of guys. And he says this, I love this. He says, the local church should be an intimate and valuable partner, in the effort to raise the upcoming generation of Christ followers and church leaders. But it is the parents whom God will hold primarily accountable for the spiritual maturation of their children. Now, we as the church, we want to come alongside your family, whatever it looks like. We want to partner with you in your faith form, in their faith formation of the children, of your family. We don't want to be a replacement for that. We can't. We want to help you. The The role of the church is not to make sure that as you look down on this community, you can see the light shining just from this building. The role of the church should be to make sure that the light is shining out of each and every one of your homes, so that when the community looks out, they can see that the whole world is lit and that we're all Christ followers. So my challenge for you today is to take a good look at your homes and your family, whatever your family looks like, and see if you're in need of a home makeover. Joshua completes this chapter 24 by putting up a stone of remembrance, and that the people could remember what they had promised God.